coming up on Your Best Life.
Your foundation for living a victorious life is based on your faith connecting you with Jesus Christ and becoming confident and bold on the inside of your soul. When you live with confidence in your heart, now I'm
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I've been excited all week about sharing this message. I normally am, but I think I'm just a couple of notches up on my normal level of excitement because I know that if you can get a hold of this, this will change your life. This will literally take you to a whole new way of living, a whole new realm of living. And we're in this theme of Psalm 23, and the title of this week's message is Beat the Bully. Everybody say, Beat the Bully. I want you to say this psalm with me, this verse out of Psalm 23, verse 4. I want you to repeat these words as I say it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I have a Bible at home called Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. It's a big, thick one with a unique kind of commentary. It's not a commonly known commentary, but I really like his insights on some things. He says, regarding the valley of the shadow of death, these are the deep, waterless, gloomy, wild, beast-infested, rocky, dangerous, death-lurking ravines that are common in Palestine. So he is not talking about some gentle grassy valley. He's talking about a deep, gloomy, dark, beast-infested, death-lurking, could be danger anywhere kind of ravine, a narrow, cold, dark place. The beautiful thing about this this scripture here, though, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk what? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The first point that he is making is that he is going to go through the valley. You need to know this morning that no night lasts forever. Morning always comes. You need to know that winter never lasts forever. Summer's going to turn up sooner or later. The trial you're in today is not going to last forever. You will come through it. You will get to the other side. Morning will break. The sun will come up. The trials don't last forever. It may be Friday when Jesus is dying. Saturday passes, but I've got to tell you, on that Sunday morning, resurrection morning, he comes out of the grave. You are going to come out of that grave, out of that dark place, out of that hole in the ground. I need you to help me preach this morning. The more you say amen, the shorter I am. The less amens I get, the longer the sermon is. Amen. Now listen to me. He says, though I walk, in spite of the fact that I'm walking through a valley, being a Christian doesn't inoculate you against valleys and pains. In fact, you're probably going to have more of them. If you'd wanted to have rainbow skies and chocolate bars raining down on you and walking on rose petals, this is not the religion for you. This is blood and dust and pick up your cross and follow me. This is about high adventure. This is about living life to its full. And so you will experience the heights of mountains, but also the depths of valleys. But in them all, you will find that Jesus Christ is going to be there with you in the middle of the valley. I will fear no evil because you are with me. I will fear no evil because you are with me. I will fear no evil because
you are with me.
With attitude this time, I will fear no evil because how about that? Jesus Christ is going to be with me in my painful moments as much as in my glorious moments. And as I walk with him, I will get to the other side. Your marriage might be in trouble. You might have kids that have gone crazy. The doctors might have given you a bad report. There could be financial bleak future horizons for you. But you need to understand that you are going to get to the other side of this thing. It may seem impossible. It may seem like nothing in earth can actually deliver you. But you have got God with you in that valley. And His presence assures you that you're not only going to come through it, you will be a different person at the end of that valley. You will be blessed. You will be strong. You'll be full of faith. And you'll be closer to Christ than you've ever been before. And the greatest prize you can win in this life is the presence of Jesus in your world. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Beautiful. And everybody said,
amen.
Walking through things is fascinating because there are other scriptures talking to us about getting through difficult times. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire," it would have been appropriate for you to say "through" every time then. So let's try it again. "I told you, you got to help me or else I preach longer." Amen. Verse 2, "When you pass the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk the fire, you will not be burned. Neither will the flame scorch you." You are going to get through all of these things that you are facing because He's with you. When you asked Him into your life, He doesn't pop in and out and visit you. He's not with you when you're good and apart from you when you're bad. He's not like Santa Claus. "You better watch out. You better not cry. If you're bad, He can fix that. If you're good, He can fix that too. Amen. He can help you through it all. The Bible talks literally about these events happening. This isn't some metaphorical thing. There were three boys thrown into an actual fiery furnace, not a metaphorical one, it wasn't a parable, not a fairy story, an actual burning fiery furnace. And as they went into the furnace, they were walking around and the king looked in and he said, "I can see four. We threw three in and now there's another one in there." And he said, "The other one looks like the Son of God." They came out of that without even the smell of smoke on them. You come through your trial without even the smell of bitterness or whatever it is that has been troubling you. They walked through the waters. When they parted the Red Sea, Moses, it wasn't a metaphorical Red Sea, it was an actual literal sea. One historian who didn't really like to believe that there was a God or could do things like this, he said, "Oh, that's nothing. It's the Bible as history. It was the Sea of Reeds." One of the students said, "Wow, it's even more of a miracle." The teacher said, "No, it's not. I told you it's not a miracle. It's just 2 inches deep." He said, no, it's amazing. God drowned the Egyptians in 2 inches of water." Don't try and disprove the Bible. It'll make you an idiot. It's for real. The sea got parted, they went through and drowned the others. Your enemy won't go through. He'll get swallowed up trying to chase you forward. Even your worst enemies, I heard somebody say this last week, even your backstabbers are pushing you forward. Come on, people. Come on, people. Come on, help me here. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. 365 fear nots in the Bible. Sounds familiar? One for every day. God's got you covered every day of your life. He says, fear not. Why? Because we get afraid every day of our life. We hear bad news. We think something's like this, like that. We get nervous. We get afraid. And so when we start to believe in the New Testament, and start to say, you know what, I'm going to live like God wants me to live. I'm going to cross that threshold out of fear into faith. And you're not alone. One of the greatest pastors in the New Testament was full of fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, Paul writes to him, his young protege, and says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." When you're full of fear, you'll lose a sound mind. You won't be thinking straight. Bad time to make decisions when you're in deep fear. Love will grow cold when you're full of fear, but perfect love casts out all fear. And you'll lose power. You'll find yourself powerless, impotent without the power of God. But faith takes you into a whole new zone. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of faith. When I met Jesus, I grew a conscience. I didn't have one before I met the Lord. Suddenly now, I knew there was bad and good. There was right and wrong. And it was unmanageable. It was like a loose cannon in my head, firing off at everything. Because I so wanted to please God, so wanted to do the right thing, so wanted to be right with God. I just questioned everything. Is that right? Is that right? And it was like there was a bully in my head. Somebody bullying me all the time. I'd buy a table. I'd take it home. I remember doing this. Took it home and I think, oh, shouldn't have bought a brand new one. Should have bought a secondhand one. Feeling guilty about it. Conscience. It's a table. For goodness sake. Second guessing all the time. Witness to a person. Tell them about Jesus. Walk away and say, oh, you didn't lead them to Jesus. It's like the bully in your head saying you should have actually gone a little further. Then you don't talk to somebody and say, oh, you should have witnessed them, should have told them about Jesus. What if they die tonight? All these. I need to tell you that that fear does not come from God. And that is why Paul was writing to Timothy and say, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, because the devil will try and make it sound like it is God so he can dominate you and bully you and manipulate you into a powerless, insane kind of life where you are not feeling any kind of grace or empowerment from heaven. But as soon as you accept, I have been made bold, I have been made confident, I have been made rich in life through the having Jesus Christ on the inside of me, I can come out of that fearful living. The New Testament is a life of fearless living. He came into your life to evaporate fear. He doesn't want you living in fear. It's not like God is trying to tap you on the shoulder every second and remind you of the things that discourage you. Courage comes from God. Discouragement from the devil. Faith, he is the author of faith. He's not the author of fear. You have not received a spirit of fear again to bondage, but the spirit of Christ crying, Abba, Father. You have been set free by the Holy Spirit. Come on, let the Lord know that you're getting a hold of this. Lean in, people. So Paul was writing that to Timothy, and he was saying, Timothy, I don't want you to be timid. That scripture actually is translated, God has not given to us the spirit of timidity in other translations. People become timid because they are intimidated. Somebody else has bullied them. You know, when I was in New Zealand last week, I was speaking at an amazing conference called a Rise Conference in Wellington. 6,000 people in Wellington, for goodness sake. I mean, it's like revival and astonishing. And I met one of the warriors there, one of the football players, Hurricane. That's what they call him, the Hurricane. I mean, these guys are just huge. They all look like the same when you see them on a football field. That's because they are all the same size. But if you put me out there, it'd be like a little midget running around their knees. Because they're big. You know, if I'm walking down the street with him at my side, I could poke anybody in the eye. They're not going to do anything. I fear nothing because I got the Hurricane with me, baby. When you've got Jesus Christ with you, walking through life, you've got the unkillable. You've got the one who rose from the dead. You got the one who destroyed every demon. You got the one who stills the storm, who speaks to the waves, who speaks to the mountain. You've got the one walking with you who walks on water, who multiplies the bread, who lives in victory on a throne in heaven. You've got Jesus Christ, the Son of the Righteous, living on the inside of you, living in your heart, living in your spirit. Listen, people, you have no reason to fear. He will walk through the valley with you at your side. What are you afraid of? Don't be afraid anymore. Christ is with you. And God has not given you the spirit of fear. There's plenty of religious presentations out there that are going to tell you you are more godly if you're timid, pious, and withdrawn, and humble, and not really being too bright in life. But when Jesus Christ came into the world, friend, my Lord, he took black and white and made it color. He took gray and made it bold red. He wants you loud and proud, baby. He wants you saying, hey, I'm here on planet Earth. I have come to be alive. Jesus Christ is meant to set people free. Free. He who knows the Son is free indeed. And I see so many religious people bound by religion. Religion will bind you. It'll even crucify Jesus when he comes to earth. But the Holy Spirit, my God, when he comes into your life, he will set you free. He will set your spirit free. He will set your heart free. He will set your mind free. He will set every part of your life free. He will set your bones dancing. Come on, people. God is going to set your hearts free. The power of the Holy Spirit has come into this world to loose you from your fear, to get you out of your timidity, to make you stand and be alive. Oh, there's no one like. The power of the Holy Spirit has come to reach you, lift you, set you free. Let the power of the Holy Spirit get inside of you today, give you confidence, give you boldness, set you free in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Come on. I'm just trying to get you out of there. Come on. If the Blues had won last Wednesday night, you would have been jumping around your living room. Oh. You need to know the boldness is the signature of God on your soul. If he's in your world, it's evident because you become confident. My God, I'm saying so many tweetable things this morning. Here's the thing. David knew what he was talking about when he said in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil because you are with me. How did he know that? He had been against one of the most evil things in his life as a young boy at 17 called Giant Goliath. He had met up with a giant, and today, friend, I want you to walk out of here and behead fear in Jesus' name. I want you to bring down all the fears and phobias that have kept you bound. And I'm going to believe for that. I'm going to cast it out by the power of the mightiest name in the universe, the name of Jesus. Hey, everybody, tell me your name. Now, let's do it again. One, two, three. Okay, I want to give you another name to say. Say the name Jesus when I say one, two, three. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Do you feel the power in that compared to the first one? We're not doing it in our name. It's in his name. Got all authority against every spirit of fear that is trying to bind your mind and rob you of power. Some of you are sitting here right now and thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. They can be. I'm preaching this again tonight. Bring them down here, amen, and say, my God, I got to get that phobia person down here. There's a phobia. I think there's about 7,000 phobias in the world. When you look at the list, I'm exaggerating. I've told myself 1,000 times not to exaggerate, you know. Listen, here is David writing a psalm. I will fear no evil. I will not be intimidated. That word, God has not given to you The spirit of timidity. If you're timid, it's because you've been intimidated. When David went to meet that giant, he met intimidation from three angles. Everybody was against him doing it. That's why the psalm goes, though I walk through the valley. There's a situation in my life that should be making me afraid. By all accounts, I should be nervous. I should be taking pills. I should be on a therapist's couch. I should be running, avoiding, getting out of here, but I'm not. I'm getting ready to confront the most difficult situation in my life. And when he is with you, he will strengthen you so that that big emotional hole that is in most people, so that when trouble comes, we just want to run. We just want to avoid it. We don't want to make the phone call. We put it off and we live under a stress that we could avoid if we just had the strength to confront it and deal with it. The stress of dealing with it is far less than the stress of living with it. Another tweetable fact. The deal is that you have got that power inside you. You are not a weak person. You are not a timid person. Look at the creation around you that God has made. You're made in that image. Would you have made pineapples and carrots and giraffes and lions? That's your nature. To make oceans and mountains. That's your nature. You're in his image. You came, when you were born into this earth, you came out screaming. What's happened? There's forces that close us up, that shut us down, that try and make us small. The devil has come to destroy us. Jesus has come to enlarge us, to save us, to deliver us in Jesus' name. He has come into this world to set you free. My Lord, I'm preaching like a Pentecostal this morning. Not bad for an Anglican boy. You know, here's the thing. Exactly. I agree with that. The first group that David meets when he comes down, his father has sent him down, said, take some supplies down to your brothers. Take some supplies down to the general. He's a shepherd boy. He's not at the fight. For 6 weeks, there's not been a blow exchanged. The Philistines have laid down a challenge. They said, we've got a champion here. You send one champion. Why have all this killing between two armies? Let's just two guys fight it out. And whichever one wins, the entire nation will become the slave of the other. Seemed reasonable. They said, let's do it. There's so much preaching in there. That's how God does it. One champion against another. Whoever wins. And that was how they were going to fight this particular war. Goliath would come out 12 foot tall. Had the axle of an 18-wheel Mack truck. As a spear, had a Volkswagen for a helmet. He's a big guy. Give me a man! As he spoke, rocks would split. Gravel would roll down the mountain. Avalanches in Germany would happen. Give me a man! Echo right across the hall. And blood-curdling cry. And all the soldiers, they go, oh. They go back in and they watch some Max Fit videos. Iron Jim. Eat some Nutri-Grain. Write a letter to their girlfriend. I'm going to take him tomorrow. Come out in the morning, give me a man! Oh, tomorrow. They procrastinated. Fear had paralyzed them. Fear had just stopped them in their tracks. Down comes this little 17-year-old kid. John comes and give me a man! Across the valley. The valley of the shadow of death. He hears the voice, give me a man! The challenge. He says, who's this ugly brute, this uncircumcised Philistine dog? I said, that's pretty tough talk for a little kid. He says, what's the prize for taking them out? I said, oh, you get to marry the king's daughter and tax-free living for the rest of it. He said, well, I'll give it a shot. And his big brother, Eliab, hears it, says, who do you think you are, you insolent little proud brat? With whom have you left those few insignificant sheep? Tried to bully him. Tried to intimidate him by making him feel insignificant. Who are you? Who are you? Huh? What do you amount to? What do you think you go along to church, get all excited, and then so life's going to get better? Who do you think you are? Huh? What are you going to do? You think you're going to beat this thing? Please. You think it? That's intimidation. I don't respond well to bullies. I pretty well lose my Christianity. You know, I pretty well have no anointing when I'm... You try to intimidate me, it won't be healthy for you. I just do not have a good reaction. It's the one thing. I'm a really good guy with everything else. But, the person just, you know, sort of like that. My God, something rises in me. It's Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus, friend. Yeah, he rises. Do you talk to my boy like that, huh? He's my boy. I'm his homie. You know, I'm there. So, Eliab putting his little brother down. You proud little kid. What are you doing here? Go back to your few little sheep. He says he's insignificant. He's got few sheep, straggly sheep, and doubts that he's left them in care, that he's disorganized, that he's delinquent in the way that he discharges duties. He's accusing him, making him feel bad and timid. David goes, what? Get out of my face. I'll go and talk to the king. He didn't respond well either. He went to the king. He said, king, give me a shot at this. I can do this. King says, what? The king tries to bully him, intimidate him. He says, who are you? You're young. You're a youth. You haven't even got a soldier's uniform. I see no sword. You got this pretty little face. You got Goldilocks and what's that, a harp? My God, kid, what are you going to do? He says, I've taken a lion and I've taken a bear. This brute will be like one of them. No problem to me. The king's taken back. Couldn't bully him. Beat the bully. Couldn't bully him. Couldn't intimidate him. So I'll take him for you, king. We're good. No problem. The king is convinced. That's got to be somebody speaking with conviction. This kid's got so much conviction. And he runs. So he runs out away from the king. The king says, all right, go for it. Scoops up 5 stones. What, in case he misses? No, Goliath's got 4 brothers. It's a true story. Puts them in his pouch, runs. He does not walk. He doesn't go, oh God, what was I thinking? Nothing like that. Boldness coursed through his whole body. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with Jesus Christ, he runs, Terminator, running to the giant, relentless, unstoppable. And the giant starts yelling at him, intimidation from the third source, the enemy, bellowing, and yelling at the same time. It's a new word. It's when you try to yellow somebody. Make him discouraged. See how good that is? That's a sound mind working right there. Fixing myself up as I go along. Here's the thing with this guy who's trying to yellow the young boy. He says, no. He prophesies to him. He says, what am I, a dog? Did you come to me with sticks? Are you going to whistle at me or something? And he starts prophesying to him. He says, you, kid, I'm going to take your flesh and feed it to the birds of the air today. Prophesying. How many people have tried to not just bully you, but predict your future as nothing, as hopeless, as meaningless? You might be sitting here today with a black view of your future. I'm telling you today that in this house, if Christ is in your life, you can look into your future and you can see resurrection. You can see yourself coming through whatever valley you're facing. You're going to come out of this thing. You're going to get over this thing. You're going to get through to the other side. And that is exactly what David did that day. He prophesied straight back at the prophesier. He said, "No, sir, that is not going to happen. What is going to happen is that I'm going to take your head off your shoulders today. You better believe it, boy, because here I come." And the great Goliath said, "What on earth could he do?" I'm telling you, nothing like that had ever entered the giant's head before. The only exposed part of his entire frame, he was covered in metal. Only one little spot, and David could see it. As far as he was concerned, that giant was too big to miss. You have to engage in the battle against fear and the intimidating forces of the devil. He is no match for you. You are a giant killer. You will bring down that fear today. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ, you will bring down fear out of your life. That spirit of fear that has been hounding you from your past. I am telling you this morning, expect a miracle, expect deliverance. That fear of cancer, that fear of your marriage breaking up, that fear of alcoholism, that fear of disaster in your finances. Here today, put a line in the sand and say, "This ends today. I am over my fear. I'm in faith and I'm in boldness." It's not so much about having no fear. It's about filling your life with boldness. If you're in Christ, you have been made confident. You have been made a bold person. Check this out. In the New Testament, where we are told that living in Jesus is being bold. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, "In Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." Down in Acts 4:13, for me, this is like one of the most revealing scriptures in the entire Bible. It tells me about Jesus because we weren't there. We didn't get to feel what it was like to look at Him. But He ruled like a boss. He just walked like a boss all the way through his life. Sees water, walk on it. See leprosy, heal it. See a storm, stop it. He ruled in life. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized. They realized, oh man, these guys have been with Jesus. Acts 4:13, put it up there for me. They realized that they had been with Jesus. I would like to think that when you leave today, people are going to realize, oh, those guys were at church. Look how they're walking. Look how they're talking. Look how they look changed and transformed. Christians in society should reflect the Son of God that they've spent time with. You see, ruling in life is not based upon whether you're educated or trained. These men were not. It's not based on your sincerity. Ruling in life is not based on your talent, how good you are at something. It's not based on your skill set. It's not based on how old you are. It's not based on your heritage, who you're with and where you've come from. Your ability to rule in your life, over your circumstances, to be bold in life is not based on any of these things that so often we try to create a foundation on. Your foundation for living a victorious life is based on your faith connecting you with Jesus Christ and becoming confident and bold on the inside of your soul. When you live with confidence in your heart, listen to me, you can brush your teeth with as much Pepsodent as you like. That ring of confidence is going to elude you. If you don't have the Son of God on the inside of you, if you've got your confidence based on how you look, what are you going to do on that bad hair day or when you get old? What are you going to do when things go wrong in your world if they're based on your circumstances? Your confidence needs to be unwavering so that whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, you know that you are connected with the bold giver. You're connected to Jesus Christ who puts courage in your soul, who doesn't put fear on the inside of you. In Proverbs 28 verse 1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Shakespeare said, guilty conscience makes cowards of us all. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has cleared your conscience. He's rubbed out. He didn't come to rub it in. He came to rub it out, to take away all your blame and shame, to remove it. Psalm 138, verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. I love this. Put it up on the screen for me. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. What am I crying out for? Change my circumstance. God, make my world different around me. How do you answer me? You answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. He doesn't always change your circumstance, but he does change you so that you can affect your circumstance from a bold position. And while you're moaning and complaining at God for not changing your world, he's trying to put something inside of you here this morning called boldness. So that when you go out of here, you think, I can deal with my life. I can overcome these situations. I can face whatever is coming against me, and I'm going to find myself in victory in Jesus' name. One of the greatest things that could ever happen to you today is to be delivered from fear and to be filled with faith. Let's all stand up as the band comes right now. And I know that the Holy Spirit has an impartation to inject into your soul a faith like you've never had before. The Holy Spirit is in this house. His presence is in here. And when you stand up, I'd like you to stand by. Just pull one foot forward, would you? And reach out to God. I call it front-footed worship. I find when I'm relaxed in my body, my soul is not that active. A lot of you give out all week long. I know I feel like I do that. I've got to have times where it's coming in. Otherwise, I'm running on empty, and I'm aggro, and I'm impatient, and I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm scraping on the bottom of my emotions. That's why it's so important to be in the house of God. You know, I know you can watch online, and God bless you. It's great to have you if you are today. But with all the strength you've got, make sure you're in the house of God every week. In the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, it's at 120 right now. It's booming. It's in revival. Mark Sornacock will be sharing a short teaching this coming Tuesday night. Starts at 7, 1 hour. It's going to be amazing. And you get fed. You get filled. If you're always just giving out to your children, and that oldest child you've got, your husband, it's always... And your husbands, you're out there working hard all week and nobody said thank you all week for all the stuff you do. I'm saying thank you right now for making the big effort. And you're here and I'm so grateful to you for bringing your family and bringing your kids and getting them checked in. I know it's another day and it's a chunk of time out of your Sunday, but oh, it's worth it. You gotta have it because too much going out of you. You gotta have something come in. You can't be running on empty. You don't make the decision every week whether you go to church. Should we go to church today? Yeah, it's a commitment. It's just what you do. You don't say, shall I go to work? Shall I eat breakfast? It's a basic life commitment. You never know what's going to happen. But better than that, the Word of God will come into your heart and feed you at a level you can't get anywhere else in the world. Right now, I'm going to cast fear out of this building, out of your life, in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Father, today, I come against all fear and intimidation, nervousness, anxiety, timidity, shyness, withdrawn living. In Jesus' name, any evil spirit that has ever come and tried to pretend to be God, in people's minds, parading as some other force. In the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit and I cast you out today by the power of the name Jesus. That name which is above every other name. Unlock the hearts of people here this morning. I see hearts being unlocked by the key of David, the key of a fearless lifestyle, the key of boldness, the key of faith, coming into lives this morning and setting the prisoner free. In Jesus' name, we pronounce victory and boldness and life and confidence to fill every believer here, that they might have been with Jesus and felt their lives filled to overflowing with the bold confidence and the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Come on, give Him all the praise.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. You can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're gonna love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
Negative circumstances constantly send us the message that we are far less than what the New Testament declares us to be.
Fact is, by grace, He has fully qualified, fully accept you, and all you can do is say, thank you, Lord, I'll receive it.
Who are you in Christ? The latest book from Pastor Phil Pringle intends to awaken us from that spiritual kind of amnesia that dilutes our true identity.
As long as you remain in that covenant place, you will find yourself accepted and qualified by God to sit at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Born Identity, who we are and what we have in Christ, is available now at philpringle.com.
Hey, it's Beck Pringle here. Thanks for joining us today. We wanted to take a moment to say a special thank you on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris to all of our friends and partners and congregations all around the world that helped to make this podcast possible. We're praying and believing with you for favor and blessing over all of your lives. To tell us your story of how this message has impacted you, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.